If you would this morning turn to the second chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 2. We'll take a break this week from our study in the book of Ephesians and try to return to that next Sunday, God willing. This morning I'd like to look at two different verses found in the book of Hebrews and compare them and do this very briefly. I very much anticipate hearing Brother James this morning and be praying for him if you would. The Apostle Paul says in Hebrews chapter 2 verse 10, "For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." And he says, "It became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings." The other verse is found in Hebrews 5. Where Paul says in verse 8, "Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek." The Apostle Paul has just told us in Hebrews 2 that we see Jesus who was made a little lower than the angels, and he says, and this is the reason for the suffering of death. Jesus was made a human being. He became a man. He was a fully man, fully God. He didn't come only as God. He did not come in angelic form. The Apostle Paul would make it very clear that he didn't take on the nature of angels, but rather the seed of Abraham. He became one of us. He knows what it is to be one of us. In heaven today, I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ sits at the right hand of God as the Son of God and also the Son of Man glorified. He is there today in physical form. There is a literal man seated at the right hand of God the Father. That same man was conceived by the Holy Ghost. He was born of the Virgin Mary. He lived a perfect life. As a boy, he was obedient and honorable to his parents. At the age of 12, he confounded doctors and lawyers. At the age of 30, he sought baptism by the only reputable and authorized source, John the Baptist. Then he was tempted of the devil, and we find he reliably put away those temptations and went forward in his service to his Father. For 3.5 years, he preached the gospel, establishing his church here upon the face of this earth. He called his apostles. He ministered to the needy. He healed the blind. He raised the dead. He gave strength to the lame and hearing to the deaf. He was a real man who could be touched, who could be handled. John would say, in fighting the very first heresy the church ever encountered, which heresy was that Jesus was just God and he just appeared to be a man. So John tells us about the Word of Life. He says that we have handled, we have touched him. He said, we've seen him, but we've also handled him. John knew it because he said, "I've laid my head upon his breast." There at the Last Supper, John the Baptist was so intimate with the Lord Jesus, he didn't feel it uncomely or immodest to literally lay his head upon the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how intimate their relationship was. And so John could testify, "I have actually handled him. I didn't just see an apparition or a figment of imagination or some appearance of a figure." He said, "I actually saw him, and beyond that, I handled him." He is the Word of Life. So here Paul says, we see Jesus. He was made a little lower than the angels, and this is why, so that he could suffer death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now we must understand every man means everyone that he was appointed to represent by his Father, which the next verse will clarify. "For it became him," that's the Father. It became God the Father. That means it was fitting, it was proper, and it was suitable for God the Father to do the following. He says, "It became the Father," or it was suitable or fitting for the Father, "for whom are all things." Now, all things under consideration in this verse are the things concerning salvation of God's elect. And here Paul says that it's of the Father that all things of salvation are for. God did this not for you, but God did this for himself. Your salvation is not because you merited it. God the Father chose to save you for his own glory, for God's own benefit, and for for God's own sake you were saved. And that's what Paul here declares. For it was fitting for God, for whom are all things, for whom salvation was appointed, for His glory it was appointed. And he says, and by whom are all things? Not only was it for God's sake that it was done, it was by the power of God that it was accomplished. So it was God the Father who appointed it, and it was fitting, according to Paul, for Him to do it this way. It was right, it was suitable. And God the Father ordered it this way, and then He also brought it to fruition according to this verse. For it became Him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory. Now Paul says that the Lord Jesus Christ was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, and He was crowned with glory of honor, so that He, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now Paul says that it was right for God the Father, and it was by Him that salvation came to be, and it was for Him that salvation came to be, that He brought the Lord Jesus into this world, and through Him, many sons were brought into glory. Now here the term "in bringing many sons unto glory" means the fruition of our salvation. It means the day when you and I stand before God the Father, body, soul, and spirit, in glorified form. That's the purpose for which Jesus came. And according to Paul, it became God to do this. It was suitable for God to do this. It was fitting for Him to do it. And it was proper for Him to do it. But notice what it goes on to say. To make the captain of their salvation, that means the chief of their salvation, perfect through sufferings. There was something lacking in the Lord Jesus Christ, according to this verse, prior to His sufferings. Now, when it says He was made perfect through sufferings, it does not mean that He was imperfect before, that He was unholy before, that He was sinful before. That's not what the word "perfect" here means. The word "perfect" means complete. There was a completeness that came to the Lord Jesus Christ when He suffered for our sins. When the Lord Jesus Christ went to Calvary and there became our sins, and the wrath of God the Father was poured down upon Him, there was a completeness that came into the experience and life of the Lord Jesus Christ that was not there prior to His sufferings. And according to what Paul said, by Him doing that, God made Him able to bring many sons unto glory. Before the Lord Jesus experienced this encounter with the Father and was made perfect or complete through sufferings, He was not suitable or quite yet fit to be the captain of our salvation. Now, He is our Savior before He came and did this. He came into the world as Savior, but yet there were some things that the Lord Jesus Christ had to learn. Hebrews 5. Though He were a son, that's unquestioned according to Paul, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. Does that mean that Jesus was disobedient up to this point? That's not what He's saying at all. Jesus would say of His own life prior to Calvary, "I do always those things which please the Father." He says in John 6, "For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing, but raise it up again at the last day." So Jesus makes it clear that I have been an obedient son. Even as He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and there three times prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done." What was Jesus saying? He says, "Father, I'm ready, and I'm ready to be obedient to that which You've called me to do." But here it says He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. What does it mean that He learned obedience? It means He learned the results and the sacrifice necessary to be obedient. He learned what sacrifice it would take and what the results would be to be an obedient son. He learned something there that He never knew before. He learned what it was to be made sin. He knew what it was then. He learned what it was to be separated from His Father. He learned then something that you and I will never know. We knew what it was to be separated from the Father. We knew what it was to be sinners. But there's one thing that Jesus learned that you and I will never learn, because He learned it for us, and that is to be forsaken by His Father. The Lord Jesus Christ learned by experience what it was to be made sin. He knew what it was to be separated from the Father. He knew what it was to know the wrath of the Father. You and I will never know the wrath of God. You and I will never face the fiery wrath of God due us for our sins, because the Lord Jesus Christ learned that by obedience through the things that He suffered. And then Paul says, in being made perfect. After He went through His sufferings, He was then complete, just as He taught us in Hebrews 2. Notice what it says, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. So Jesus, God appointed, and it was right for Him to do so according to Hebrews 2. For it became God the Father, for whom are all things, to whom are all things, and bringing many sons unto glory. How? By making the captain of our salvation perfect through sufferings. And now here comes Jesus, who, though He were a son, yet learned the obedience by the things that He suffered, and being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Now notice, the Apostle Paul makes it very clear where the origination of salvation is, where the completion of salvation is. The Bible calls Him the author and the finisher of our faith. Here He's called the author of eternal salvation. That means He's the author of it. He's also the completer of it. An author is one who begins a book and also ends the writing of that book. If you and I have a part in our salvation in any form whatsoever regarding heaven and our enjoyment of heaven, then Jesus Christ and our Father is reduced to a co-author, and we're elevated to a co-author, but that's not the case. The case is that Jesus is the only author. He completed the book of salvation, and it is secure because He's the one who has finished it. And then He says, He did all this unto all them that obey Him. You say, well, that seems like a conditional text. It's not. Because according to John chapter 6, no man can come unto the Father, or unto me, except the Father which has sent me draw him. But then He also lets us know that everyone that Jesus was sent for, God draws. There's an obedience that takes place when God speaks eternal life into the heart of the child of God. And it is a passive obedience. It doesn't matter whether you want to obey or whether you don't want to obey. When God calls you into divine life, you're going to obey that call. You may not obey Him at any point until you're called from the grave or called into heaven when He comes back. But you will obey Him when He calls you into divine life. And you will obey Him when He calls you from the tomb. And you will obey Him when He calls you into glory. It's better to obey Him as much as you can all the time. But you will obey Him at least those times. Every child of God will be obedient in those ways. So here the Lord Jesus had things to experience to be made, according to the word here, perfect or complete or fit. It's not to say that He was sinful, disobedient, or anything of that nature. But there was something about Him that He did not fully comprehend until He experienced it Himself. Even being made a man, we see Jesus made a little lower than the angels. There was still something about Him that He didn't quite know or understand. Until, as 2 Corinthians 5 says, God made Him to be sin who knew no sin. And then there was something that He knew that He didn't know before. He knew the weight of sin. And then He felt the wrath of God. And then He felt the forsaking of the Father's face and presence. When He says, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? And because Jesus learned that, you will never have to learn that. You'll never have to experience and say, God, why have You forsaken me? Because He's declared in His word, I will never leave thee and I will never forsake thee. May God bless you. Is our prayer.